It is game week. It is recruiting time. Official visits. John Garcia. We're going to talk quarterbacks coming on campus. Have the Badgers found their answer for that pivotal spot? All that and more in today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in, making this one of your first listens every single day, whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on the pod. We really, really do appreciate it. Also like to thank LinkedIn Jobs for being the official college football recruiting sponsor of the Locked On College Network. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Terms and conditions do apply. And we're bringing John Garcia Jr. on, Sports Illustrated College Football Recruiting Director, our recruiting insider, master of insight. John, man,
I appreciate it.
No, it's always great when you're on the show. We really do appreciate it. And week one coming up, we have some quarterback traction. We've talked, you and I, several times about where are the Badgers going? Where might they pivot? We have some potential answers, right? So I want to start here. Ryan Brown, week one official visit, kind of a 6'5", 200-pound kid, three-star. What do you know about Ryan Brown, his film? What's your feel there?
You know, I've been tracking Ryan for like a year and a half now. He is one of these interesting late bloomers in the quarterback world that we don't see every single year. You know, 6'3", 6'4", like you said, was great last year for Venice High School, which is one of the bigger programs in the state of Florida, state champion quarterback, a ton of production. He almost won Mr. Football. So at this time last year, people were like, why doesn't he have more attention going into what was his senior season in high school in 2021? And the kid's willing to bet on himself. So he didn't have those high-level FBS offers that he thought he should. So he went the prep school route. So now he's at Milford Academy up in New York playing against some more prep school talent. Had a really nice debut earlier this week, for his, I guess, post-grad season. And you like post-grads because they don't lose eligibility at the collegiate level. So if you're between junior college and prep school, you go to prep school because now you don't have to waste a year of collegiate eligibility. So he's in a different area of the country. More eyeballs will be on him. And he's one of the great examples of what we talked about last show, I believe, was allowing some of these kids to rise as seniors. So for him, he's a super senior as a fifth-year varsity guy, if you will, but he's still showing some legitimate ability. He's got a big frame and a really big arm. You know, there's a couple instances on tape where he's chucking that thing 50-plus yards down the field. And I know now in prep school, there's a question of the competition level, right? Mm-hmm. Prep school ball isn't the most intense in the country. You're playing a lot of college programs as basically JV roster, for lack of a better term. Although they're older players, they're still playing at a secondary level at their own school. So I think the numbers will stay impressive, but there's a question on the competition level. But again, going back to last year at Venice in Florida, that's 8A. That's 8A high school football in the state of Florida, where, again, they won a state title. So you're not even just dominating your region or your area. You're expanding that. And there were a lot of instances where Brown's big arm really carried Venice towards that state championship. He's got some grit. He's got some movement ability. He's not a guy you're going to design runs for, but he's one who can move in the pocket and scramble and buy a little bit of time for his receivers to break open. There's a confidence with this kid who kind of, again, bet on himself and knows his worth. So in those regards, sounds like a Wisconsin type of kid, right? A kid who knows, sure, hey, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm playing the long game here. I'm not with the flash of it all. So naturally, he's got some Big Ten vibes to him, and right aligned with that, there are some Big Ten programs that are interested in him, not only Wisconsin. He told me this morning Purdue is starting to reach out. They lost their 2023 quarterback when Ricky Collins decommitted, and he's now committed to LSU. Florida State, which lost its 2023 quarterback in Chris Parson, who is now a Mississippi State commitment, they've also reached out to him. And he's thrown for all of these coaching staffs before. I think that is what is maybe most interesting. You know, he came up for a private workout in June up to Madison. So there's a real rapport with the coaching staff at this moment. So I do think furthering that with a visit could help potentially paint the picture. But for him, it could just be a matter of a first come first serve, right? He thinks he's this level of player. So once those offers, those green lights, I should say, start to come in, I think you can get some movement really quickly. So I think for Wisconsin to get the first visit of this fall, because these other schools, Purdue and FSU, are trying to line things up as well, Wisconsin getting that first visit could say a lot. If they're willing to provide that green light, I think it could be some swift action from Ryan Brown's perspective, who, again, is a kid willing to bet on himself. And he's big with a big arm, which are some of the classic kind of Wisconsin quarterback traits.
Well, and to your point, he's big with a big arm, but he's not a statue either. Like, you know, on film, he can move a little bit. So let me ask this, because I watched the film. I saw the big arm and I saw this 6'4 kind of stature, you know, big school in Florida, won a state title, good frame, can move a little bit, big arm. Why do you think some of those offers didn't come? Like, is there something there that turned people off?
Yeah, I think, again, it's a product of timing. I think with quarterback recruiting, so much of it is done junior year and earlier for a lot of these big-time schools. So I think you throw that in. You throw, for a kid who was a senior last year, the 2020 season was the COVID season. So We talk about quarterbacks, it's all about their junior year. So not only was he not far and away the guy at Venice, but it was also the COVID year. So for those who, you know, you couldn't make the trip to go eyeball him in person. And there is not a coaching staff in America that wants to take a quarterback that they have not evaluated in person. So I do think there was some circumstantial stuff that slowed down Ryan Brown's recruitment. So by the time he blew up in the fall, which was last year, the fall of 2021, most of the programs that would have been initially interested were already wrapping up or have wrapped up their quarterback recruiting for the class. So I think even during the fall last year, we heard rumblings of, hey, maybe this kid waits it out and goes the junior college route or the prep route to extend his recruiting process. So I think some of it was circumstantial, and some of it was, you know, people didn't see him. They didn't see him work until it was almost too late in one sense. So I think he's a late bloomer and a bit of a product of circumstance, but again, still ready and willing to bet on himself and save that eligibility, which is something that programs like Wisconsin are looking to potentially benefit from. So if it does work out between these two parties in particular, I think it would align from a just a story perspective, right? Both of these this program and this player are bet on yourself, you know, kind of deals. Mm-hmm. And I do think that would be a nice fit for the Badgers.
Yeah, that's a great tie into the culture that Wisconsin has. I want to kind of wrap up here with Brown. How does he kind of compare it to a Lincoln Kindholz? Is he in that tier? Also a late bloomer, you know, that Wisconsin had a shot at. Kind of athletic kid, big frame. Where's he at on that tier?
I think when he sets his feet and delivers the football, it's as good or better than Lincoln. But I think athletically, Kihlholz is a little bit ahead of Ryan Brown, to where I think you could run a little bit more modern concepts, some RPO stuff, some read option where the quarterback has some potential running in the design as opposed to running as a product of circumstance, trying to get away from a pass rush or moving the chains on your own. So I do think they're both strong armed and athletic, but I do think Kienholz is one who you push a little bit more from that running perspective, which we thought at the time was Wisconsin's kind of signaling of, hey, we're going to start to open this thing up just a little bit more. But with all these quarterbacks we'll talk about today, you know, none of them are statues. All of them have some element of mobility beyond just avoiding the rush. And I think that's another positive trend in trying to find a late addition into this quarterback room.
Yeah, I agree. It's a common thread with everybody we're going to talk about today, which leads us into we're going to take a really quick break here from our sponsors, but we have more quarterback talk coming up with John Garcia Jr., more players coming to Madison. Hopefully Wisconsin fills that void. That's going to be next. But first, today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all of your sports betting needs and information. Live Vegas casino games, reviews and news of every sports league. They have you covered no matter where you're at. Hockey, basketball, baseball, college sports, esports, golf, fighting sports. Like, it's all there, not just for betting, but for news. Where's the latest coach going? You know, live in betting, futures. It's all on BetOnline. It's your number one source for all your sports gambling information, live casino games, sports news. Keep up to date on everything that excites you as a sports fan. Do it responsibly, but it continues to be your number one top online resource for all your sports wagering information. And we've talked about it a bunch of times with the futures. It's a really fun spot to go, especially as seasons are starting, you know, the NFL, college football. If you have a feel on a team, on a player, on a division, on a conference, on a Super Bowl, right? This is a great opportunity. Put a few bucks down, test your sports knowledge, enjoy it. It makes it more exciting. It makes that Saturday night Purdue Illinois game. It gives a little bit of panache. So BetOnline, head to the website today. Learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're going to bring John Garcia back on. Continue talking quarterbacks. And John, I do want to take this opportunity because everything you do is really insightful. And we're talking quarterbacks, which is one of your bread and butters. You know, where can people find the work that you're doing, especially as recruiting, you know, really kicks back up with the season going on?
Yes, sir. Yeah, SI.com is your one-stop shop there for football and basketball recruiting intel. Yeah, we're tracking a lot of these kids as they start their senior seasons. And, of course, recruiting, you know, doesn't slow down at any point in this process. So we've got our SI99 rankings out. We're going to refresh our team recruiting rankings the first week of September. So the ball stays rolling over at SI.com. So please check us out.
Yeah, it's definitely insightful stuff. Definitely worth the time. Let's talk. So we talked Brown. There's another quarterback coming in week two, Cole LeCru, Broomfield, Colorado, 6'2", a little smaller, 6'2", 190, but also mobile. Like you said, the common thread between all these quarterbacks, mobile. I'm curious what you think of his game and where he might stand in the pecking order here.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit more free-wielding, you know, compared to the other two quarterbacks that we're going to talk about, a little bit more of a gunslinger mentality in this kid's game. Coming from Colorado, which, you know, he told me today, he's like, man, look, it ain't easy for a kid from Colorado because, you know, it's a flyover state, right? You fly right over Colorado to get to the West Coast, or if you're coming from the West Coast, you fly over Colorado to get to Chicago or wherever you're headed. So he kind of has that chip on his shoulder, right? So as opposed to Brown betting on himself kind of internally, LeCru is more outward with it. Like, you know, you're going to wish you bet on me down the line. So there's a bit of a long game play in that approach as well. And yeah, he's a kid who's getting some FBS attention, some group of five attention. And he reciprocated that. He took an official to Central Michigan, I believe in the summer, but he kept the door open for in-season officials on purpose because he felt like he could play his way into the Power Five. And again, his tape is fun. It's interesting. I think as a junior last fall, we saw a lot of great off-script ability throwing on the run. Really good to his weak side, to the left, mm-hmm. which is not something we see at the high school level, particularly with a junior. But then I checked out some of his senior stuff. I think they played a scrimmage last week. And man, when he set his feet, I mean, there was a ball that traveled 58 yards in the air in stride to a player down the field that went for a long gain. So it's not just this off script and athletic ability. There's some set your feet and let it rip ability here with LeCru as well. It might not be as polished looking as a Ryan Brown, but it's there. And he looks a little bit bigger as a senior too. So again, he's a little bit smaller in what he's listed at, but now he's looking a little bit bigger going into the next year, which is what you want to see. You want to see that tangible growth both in his game and in his frame. So I think we get that with LeCru, who, again, coming out of Colorado, is going to be a kid who has to play a bit of a longer game, especially with this year so loaded at the position. I think that's another factor for all these quarterbacks. Such a loaded year, and there were so many more clear, tangible targets for Wisconsin and a lot of these programs that are still quarterbackless in the class of 23. And by the way, that list, it's not small. We mentioned FSU and Purdue. Mm-hmm. I mean, Texas A&M, Notre Dame. I mean, there are some big-time programs that don't have a quarterback on board yet because I think everyone was kind of gunning for that top tier, maybe the second tier, and ignoring the rest because you don't recruit 10 quarterbacks at once. It's like one, maybe two, maybe three, and that's kind of it. So as the board reshuffles, some of these other kids are going to have an opportunity to jump up, and I think LeCru could be, especially geographically, one of the best examples we have in this class of 2023. And he said this morning, yeah, there's a group of schools that are starting to get a little bit more involved in the process. And he mentioned Wisconsin. He said a couple other schools, UNLV, Nebraska is reaching out now as well. So it could be an interesting late recruitment for him from a regional perspective because a couple other schools are starting to get into the mix. So again, good for Wisconsin to get one of the earlier trips in this case, because it looks like he's going to be pretty well traveled before a final decision comes in.
I love it when, because I watched the film on all this, but you're the expert on watching film on quarterback recruiting. I love it when some of what you say lines up with what I saw, because I put gamer, I put good deep ball. Like, there's a play, and you mentioned fun, right, watching his film. There's a play where he rolls out to the right, reverses all the way to the left, you know, the entire field, right? And, yeah, he looks like a total gamer, kind of shades of what you saw. You know, he's not going to be Manziel, but that type of just, you know, Sandlot type player.
Yeah.
But the thing that really impressed me, and you hit on this as well, but I want to touch on it, because I thought his deep arm and his deep ball accuracy was really impressive. Like, he throws a great deep ball.
Yeah, I think we love a great deep ball. I mean, who doesn't, right? Chicks dig the long ball, all that stuff in other sports. But there's this third level ability that LaCruz shows both on the run and stationary. That's really notable. I think when we talk about that 58-yard ball, I mean, it's great to just unload it as long and far as you can, and that's fun. But the game has a lot more variance in the third level throws you're going to make, right? Seven cuts, back shoulder stuff along the sidelines. And there's a lot of stuff where when he's outside the pocket that he throws on a rope to that third level, maybe 25, 35 yards down the field, as opposed to 60, that is just as impressive as the one when he sets his feet, because now it's more about timing. It's more about execution and velocity as much as it is, hey, put all my 200 pounds into this one throw. And that's much more functional and much more consistent of a route that you're going to consider in a given play relative to that nine route that everybody, you know, wants to focus in on, especially during the offseason. But yeah, I think there's a lot of third level ability in LaCruz's arm in and out of the pocket. And that screams modern quarterback. Again, he plays confidently, trusts his own arm, willing to roll the dice. He'll throw some contested balls, knowing that he trusts his guys and he trusts his arm, most importantly. So again, I think you like that. I think that's a more reflection, or a better reflection of the modern game, where you're willing to take more chances because it's about pushing the ball down the field and chunk plays as much as it is about, you know, protecting the football and some of the classic game manager tabs that we usually throw on some of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of those throws. Like, there was one he was rolling out to his right, backpedaled, threw it up, and I'm like, oh, against Ohio State, that's a pick, right? but to your point, it is nice to see, you know, because, you know, there's so many good things can happen pushing the ball downfield, pass interference. You know, your guy can just make a play. Like, a lot can come from that. I wanted to talk about, you said you've kind of DM'd with these players, you've been following them. When you talk to them, or when they talk to you about, you know, going to Wisconsin, I got the Wisconsin visit coming up, is there an interest there? Is that something that's a big deal to them? Or is it, I've got Purdue, Wisconsin, or is it all kind of jumbled up?
I think it's both. You know, they want to present as many options as possible to us, right? Because there's marketing going on here, right? You want to present as if, hey, a lot of people want me, you know, and that's totally understandable from our perspective journalistically. But I do think when you look at the groups of schools for both of these two that we've talked about, Wisconsin feels different, you know, compared to the others, right? In terms of stability, in terms of winning, and even in terms of system, it feels a little bit different compared to some of those others. So I do think that, again, if everyone offers all these kids relative to the schools they're talking to us about, Wisconsin's will feel different. So just in the last 24 hours, you're more optimistic as a you know, a Badger audience that we're talking to, where you're like, hey, this thing could get figured out. And I don't think it's stretching either. With either of these two in particular, you're not stretching and or settling. I think you're getting some modern talent and legitimate arm talent with these two, and a confidence with both Brown and LaCruz that I really like at that position. You know, you don't have to be the most athletic, you know, cat out there, but when there's confidence attached to it, it just kind of hits different. You know, I mean, think of your Tom Brady's of the world, you know, who's the Michigan quarterback, Cook, who like pulled the trophy away after the bowl win. I mean, look, it's a meme and it's fun on social media, but you're also like, that's my quarterback. Like, that's my guy who's going to rally us when it's, you know, fourth down, or when it's cold out, or you're the underdog. You feel better about that type of approach. And I think we do see some similarities between these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I love that point because, you know, Graham Mertz has been Wisconsin's quarterback for a while, and he hasn't played up to that lofty route, but he is so confident, right? And I always tell people, because there's an element of the fan base that says, you know, he hasn't done it. He doesn't need to be that cocky, that sway. I'm like, listen, he needs that. Like, if your quarterback doesn't have that, then it's never going to work. You know, so I love hearing that about the high school recruits because you have to have that swagger as a quarterback.
100%. And again, not struggling, but going through a different recruiting process than a Dante Moore, I do think just creates it, right? I mean, think about some of these breakout quarterbacks at the NFL or collegiate level who have that attached to them. Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, all unconventional path, even a Lamar Jackson, unconventional path where people didn't even know if he was a quarterback.
Trey Lance.
And that was added fuel to the chip on the shoulder and the motivation. And you see it with the passion that they play with. Sometimes it gets the better of them and they'll, you know, Baker Mayfield will throw into, you know, a crowd of four, but that belief in yourself is part of what got you there in the first place. So when you get beyond the arm and the frame and the game, that stuff starts to blur the margins and make you, you know, create some benefit of the doubt in evaluating some of these quarterbacks. And that's why I say I feel like this isn't a case of settling, right? Or just, hey, we'll just wait on the portal. No big deal. No, you're still going after guys who look like they're built for some of these big moments that you aspire to as any college program.
I love it, man. You're getting me excited. I think Badgers fans are going to like it too. Coming up, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to talk about another quarterback coming to Madison, someone else who I think has some interesting and tangible ability and some athletic ability. So that's coming up on Locked On Badgers. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Locked On Badgers. Really do appreciate it. We have John Garcia Jr. on the show, Sports Illustrated Football Recruiting Director, and we're always smarter when he stops by. John, we've been talking about quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks, winners. I want to talk about in-state. Jerry Kaminsky is also going to be visiting, you know, in-state quarterback out of Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Similar size to Cole's, you know, 6'2", 200. I watch the two of them, and I see a similarity just in kind of the gamer, the mobility. What do you think with Kaminsky and his film?
Yeah, I think there's some off-script ability with him. I think if you talk about athleticism and running ability in particular, of the three, he's the one you're going to design a little bit more action for as a runner, whether it's RPO, read option, or even some off-platform or rollout type stuff. And I think that really is in line with what Wisconsin has already done when you think about the play-action perspective and the quick game, but also maybe what they want to eventually do offensively if you continue to open it up like the recruiting board has kind of suggested, right? I mean, this is something we keep talking about at volume with Wisconsin quarterback targets. So I think he offers you the most athletic upside of the three. And the arm is right there too. I don't think it's as strong from a stationary perspective as the other two, particularly with LaCruz's growth. But I do think Kaminsky has enough juice to push the ball to the third level. But yeah, there's this really nice intangible to his game where he's a gamer, but not maybe as risky as LaCruz, but he's also athletic. So where you could design the runs for him in that regard. And naturally, if you allocate the passing priority attached to that, now you're buying more time for wide receivers and you're stressing the defense that much more. So I do think that if you have to maybe assign a defender to a kid like Kaminsky, now it creates a different type of approach from an offensive game planning standpoint. So I do think he offers a little bit more variance, but maybe less clear elite traits as a passer compared to the other two. So it's a bit of a preference here, right? You know, he's an in-state kid. You could probably play the longer game with him. I think the other two are getting recruited a little bit more. And we talk about if Colorado's hard to create exposure. Wisconsin's in that same boat from a high school state perspective. But I do think that you can play a little bit of a longer game because he's an in-state or because he's more familiar, because he absolutely knows what he's getting with Wisconsin, as opposed to these other two that you're going to have to reiterate when you get them on campus over the next couple of weeks. So another intriguing option, but I think timeline-wise, he could be the most flexible of the three. So I think he's a fitting, you know, outlier or third party in this conversation.
You know, and a guy that commit, you know, North Dakota commit. And if you talk about a program who has found quarterbacks, right? Yeah. Does that make you not reevaluate Kaminsky, right? The film's the film, but do you take another look and say, well, this program has found those under the radar quarterbacks and really developed them as well as anybody?
Yeah. And kind of fitting, right? Cause that was the other school in it for Keenholz to begin with. So yeah, you know, I think these two programs, look, they're similar in a lot of ways, right? Want to run the football, establish the line of scrimmage, play off of play action, and develop in that regard with with really winning and ball protection as the premium that got you there. And obviously in the NFL ranks, we've seen that that can still work. We've seen those North Dakota State products go and figure it out at the highest level. I mean, San Francisco just dedicated an entire season to Trey Lance, who's, you know, like the most inexperienced college quarterback of all the current NFL starters, right? Yep. So I think there's still something to be said for that approach. And I think Kaminsky fits that to a certain regard. So, yeah, when certain programs recruit certain players, you do take a second look. And look, you both lost out for Keenholz. So now you battle it out for another potentially in Kaminsky. It's sort of fitting. And I think regionally, that's a program that you're kind of on par with from a desirable perspective, from a recruiting board perspective. You recruit the same kind of kids, great on defense, a little bit more conservative and safe on offense, but that's starting to evolve just a little bit. So you're almost on the same trajectory as a North Dakota State.
I want to finish here with a couple of questions. By the way, I don't know if Wisconsin fans are going to love being on the same trajectory as a North Dakota State. Although I know what you're saying. I know. So I 100% know what you're saying. No, I 100% get what you're saying. And that's a team that, you know, if we could put out NFL quarterback talent like they do, we would be a much better program. So I totally get what you're saying. I could just see a Badger fan, though, saying, wait a second, is that a compliment?
It should be a compliment.
It is. Yeah, 100%. I agree. I want to finish up here with two kind of quick questions. With the three quarterbacks we talked about today, is there one, in your opinion, not trying to put any of them down, but is there one in your opinion that is in a higher tier?
Well, I think from a recruiting perspective, Brown is going to have the most options, right? He's got the most Power Five programs in the conversation today, and that number is not going to decrease. It's only going to increase depending on how the season goes for some of these schools. I mean, you know, if there's an early coaching change, and we saw multiple in September last year, right? That kind of stuff could really reshuffle the deck for a lot of programs. So when you start to look at who's left, I think his profile, especially with what he did last year down in Florida, his profile is the easiest to sell. He's the tallest, maybe the most confident and polished of the three, with the most experience that counts against the best competition. So he's the easier sell to a coaching staff or a fan base compared to the other two that are more true late bloomers and great evaluations and finds, as opposed to one that was kind of sitting there all along. So I do think that Brown is in his own tier, at least from a profile perspective. But in terms of the game, again, these guys are all somewhat similar. I think Brown is the most conventional. I think LeCrew is the most off script, and Kaminsky is a little bit in the middle. So I think you could sell a fan base on all three of these guys, but from a timeline and a profile perspective, I think the ball theoretically is in Ryan Brown's court.
That's awesome. That's great insight as always, John. I really do appreciate when you stop by. He is John Garcia. We'll link all of his show notes. Definitely are all of his contact info where you can find his work in the show. Definitely go check him out. It's definitely worth it. And just thank you everyone for tuning in. Locked On Badgers game week, recruiting's happening. We're excited. We're going to have John on again next week. So really appreciate everybody tuning in. And with that, on Wisconsin, we'll talk to you tomorrow.